You're on the air with Florenza, your podcast destination for authentic conversations with a twist. So grab your favorite drink, get comfy, and join me on this unique literary journey. Cheers!
Thank you for joining me. This is part two of an interview that I did with the entire Bryant family. We had Braylon, Peyton, and Portia on for a session. The original interview was broken up into two parts. The first featured Braylon and Peyton so that we can speak to the two younger Bryants and get their perspectives on their books, the work that they're doing in their community, and future aspirations. This is part two of that interview, and we have joining us Mother Portia Bryant. So please welcome Portia to the stage.
What? Guys, if you don't already know her, you owe it to yourself to get to know Ms. Portia Bryant. She is an exceptional multifaceted author, minister, public speaker, and entertainer who has dedicated her life to advocating for humanity. We just heard that in her daughter, Peyton. With an unwavering passion for helping people develop a profound relationship with God, themselves, and others, she has become a renowned expert in offering impactful interventions that transform lives. Through her transformative speeches, performances, and individual and group coaching sessions, she empowers the mind, inspires the will, and heals the emotions of people from all walks of life. Her reputation spans international borders, where she is not only known by her stage name, Absolute, but also affectionately as the Doctor of Emotions. With an unparalleled ability to reach audiences of all backgrounds, cultures, and sizes, Portia Bryant's work has touched countless lives. Her impact in the community is undeniable. I can attest to that. With her exceptional, extraordinary talent, she continues to inspire, empower individuals globally, making a significant difference in the world. And I can tell you that difference not only is seen, as you all have heard, through her children, but the work that she is doing, not just in the U.S., but in Africa, in other parts of the world. She is utilizing her gift for others to excel. So Portia, thank you so much for sharing your children and your time with us today. And tell us about what you're working on right now and why the work that you're doing is so vitally important.
Yes, currently I'm working on a board game titled Destiny Quest. And in this board game, we have nine levels. Nine levels are you start at love, progress to joy, go to peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then self-control. And then you end in meeting Christ, finding Christ at the end of the board game. But throughout the board game, you are met with different trials and tests. And the board game starts off with saying, okay, well, once upon a time, there were kingdom citizens who were loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, and you know, they were one with Christ. But somehow over time, life started to kind of pull away at them and get them to diminish their light, and they became in a state of unrest and depression, and they were irritable and angry. And we just asked the players to please help these citizens to find their way back to being one with Christ, just as they once were in their most abundant.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. And I'm just hearing you list those levels, and I'm thinking of the fruit of the spirit, and I'm just thinking of how these things can be utilized, and what a fun way to introduce these concepts. How did you come up with the idea to create a board game?
Well, I am also a facilitator for my church. I'm a community group leader. And I like, and my background is teaching. I love to make learning fun. And so you can't have, with me, you can't have Bible study just as this Bible study or discipleship, just norm, but we got to do something different. So I decided to come up with a series of questions that help people to discern where they are concerning their heart's ability to give and receive love, their heart's ability to give and receive patience, as mm-hmm. well gentleness, kindness, goodness, all of the gamut of Christ culture, because we are Christians. And the word tells us that this is who Christ is. This is his character. So in discipleship, it is my goal to see what are the hindrances and how I can better support you if I can, or pray for you if that's what can be done. So that was an intervention. I'm also a qualified mental health provider. So it's also an intervention for me to help people to live their best life and feel supported in their daily life.
How does the board game tie in with your book, What Would Jesus Do? And tell us a little bit about this book. I think it's amazing.
What the game has to do with the book is that you have 9 beautiful chapters also titled after the fruit of the spirit. So uh-huh. you have chapter 1, love, chapter 2, joy. Then you go on to peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You are navigating in this book through all of the how-tos, how to have and express love. And so it gives you a Christ vantage point. Jesus speaks in first person perspective and allowing you to dive deeper in how he modeled each fruit of the spirit. And then not only does he give 5 reflections for each fruit, how he modeled each fruit, but he also gives a coaching session on how you too can apply it to your daily life. And I really appreciate the breakdown of the 45 interventions of how to manage emotions and become more like Christ, because sometimes our emotions will make us feel like we are the farthest thing from him. Mm. And they will make us feel like we should not even try, and we should turn away or give up or be silent, stop going to church, or just shut down. But that's the spiritual warfare in life that my book talks about in the beginning. And it gives a whole chart that shows the breakdown of what happens in real time as we experience this thing called life. The breakdown being we start at a place of being of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We start there, but somehow through the journey of life, just like in the game, life has a way of weighing on us or causing disappointments, grief. Maybe someone's passed away. Maybe someone has betrayed you, rejected you, made you feel invalidated, or you feel like you have no purpose. There's so many things that we contend with in everyday life that will cause us to not want to go further in this thing called faith. And so that's what the book is all about, is helping us to maintain being hopeful instead of hopeless. Maintain being in a place of, faithful, full of faith and not faithless. So we want to, allow people to know that there is a reason for hope. And even in the midst of doing this thing, this real thing, there's a saying out there now called, life be lifin'. One thing that we can always expect is that things will happen in life that we least expect. So mm-hmm. we do, in the face of life happening, this is a blueprint for those, what would Jesus do? And it's not just giving you a Christ isn't being super spiritual. He's just saying, hey, this is what I went through. And I see that for the 21st century believer, it's still relevant And this is how you can rise to your best self as well, by power of the Holy Spirit as well. So I don't know if anyone remembers the time when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, in the book I wrote, I remember a time when I brought my disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. I wanted to pray, so I told them to keep watch while I find a quiet place for myself. I remember it like it was just yesterday. I prayed the most intense prayer I ever prayed in my life. I was in distress and full of grief. I thought of what was to come. I asked God, my Father, to allow the situation to pass from me. I was so distraught that I was literally sweating drops of blood. And finally, I went back to check on my guys to see how they were holding up, only to find that they were sleeping. And I asked them, couldn't you keep watch for only an hour? And in spite of it all, I was insightful enough to know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so this is a situation in the chapter that is talking about how to be patient. So that was Christ modeling a moment that even when you're not being supported, even when right. people have you down, you can still exercise patience. You can still exercise empathy. And then his coaching session, he said, even our own intentions don't always turn out the way we envision them to. So he was able to have the insight of, you know, maybe his disciples, they had the intention to stay up and pray, but they were tired. They were tired. They
kept tired. Because life had been lifing.
Yes, three times they fell asleep. He had to keep going back and waking them up again. But Christ in his coaching session said, we have to remember to show compassion. In doing this, patience is fulfilled. Not everyone is thinking the same thoughts we are, nor do they have the same concerns at the moment that we feel them. And that's life-changing for relationships that we value in life, to know that not everyone is thinking and feeling and seeing everything the exact same way we are in every moment. So he gives you a charge for the day. And for this example, he says, today, just as I was understanding with my disciples and their intentions toward me, give others permission to be human as you practice the art of patience.
Wonderful. Nice. Now, is this a book that small groups can do as a group, or is it a book that families can do like for their devotion time? Or is it set up mostly for it to be something that individuals work out their own salvation through the process of going through the book?
Yeah, so this is definitely for individuals or groups. And like I said, I first used this as my own curriculum as a group facilitator for a community group, as I am for my church, and I've been one for the past 4 years. And so you're able to, you know, read through what would Jesus do in his reflection and in his coaching sessions. And then it gives also an application. So this particular reflection and coaching session, and then as Christ gave his charge, then it gives you an additional curriculum assignment, which first talks about what does it mean to practice patience? What does it mean to have intentions? And then it gives you an idea on how you can build your empathy like Christ had. And so it tells you, list intentions you've had where your actions that didn't quite pan out as you planned. So it allows you to do that heart work.
And that heart work. Yes, the hard work, the heart work. What led up to you being able to tap into a space of writing first person, the words of Christ from that vantage point, that point of view? Because that's very intimate.
Yes, I really appreciate Sarah Young, Jesus Calling.
Yes.
I really, really love how she did that. I really love how she was able to capture that heart of Christ. So I decided to take it a step further and used the Gospels and all 45 of Christ's experiences to speak from Christ's vantage point on what he was going through and pray and to feel his heartbeat and to see what he saw. It was a life-changing experience to write the book, because if as you can imagine, being in right. the lessons and asking God, you know, like what were you feeling? What should we gain and glean? What were you thinking? You know, how were you able to ... Like it was a whole experience of just having to be led and coached by Christ himself.
Was there a part of going through the process of writing the book that you had to stop writing to get it right and then return to writing?
Yes. I had to do that, especially with Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha is a story that I still hadn't gotten all of the clarity about why Jesus was taking his time to go and help her and her sister, because they were his friends. Yeah. And they sent out a request that they will come and heal their brother
Lazarus,
who was dying. Mm-hmm. And so, as you can imagine, if you know that you're in good with somebody, they're one of your friends, and you ask them if they can, you know, do this favor for you because it's within their wheelhouse to do so.
Yeah.
And then you just don't hear from them for days. And then your concern goes unmet. Not only that, but then your brother dies. Yeah. But Jesus is here healing everybody else. You kind of feel a little something. And so even though I wrote a song way long time ago called Talk to God, and there was an answer for it, when it came to writing this book, I wasn't fully persuaded about the answer that that wasn't good enough.
Uh-huh. You know?
And so I had to, you know, dive deeper and see
another episode of On the Air with Clarenza. You may follow me on all social media platforms under Clarenza Lee or via my website at Clarenza.org. Until next time, cheers.
Was that we as humans, we're only able to see but so far.
Right.
And what is going on. But he's able to see far greater, a larger vantage point. So when we're feeling all left behind and forgotten about, you know, God is so many more paces ahead of us.
Yeah.
And to eternity's sake, you know, so far advanced than we could ever think or imagine. But God mm-hmm. has it figured out and taken care of. So he was able to have peace and rest in what he was doing. But while they were kind of falling apart, and feeling, you know, feeling away about this, you know, Jesus had it already figured out. He ends up coming and saying, virtually, you know, I got you.
I got you.
Don't lose faith. You know, he was able to just go ahead and heal Lazarus, so that tell him to rise, and just a whole miracle happened.
Right. Okay.
But so. Right. Jesus leads you in a place of just don't leave your place of faith.
Comparing the book to the board game, is there a way in which the reader or the player, should they have already been familiar with the book in order to play the game, or is it not even necessary to know the book?
It's not necessary, but in groups and discussion, it'd be nice for, you know, just to dive deeper, but the game comes with game cards. So in the game cards, they're not requiring you to have had to study anything. It's just asking you questions that I devised questions that every human goes through that will pull them away from each fruit.
Okay.
If there are, you know, five things, or things that will pull you away from your ability to be gentle with someone else. We dive into those things.
Okay.
And you're just able to give your reflections and your thoughts from your personal experiences throughout the game.
Awesome. How soon before the game is available to purchase?
I have a digital download available for the game. A digital download is available immediately. And so all you have to do is inbox me via Facebook, and I can send you a link to download that.
Wonderful. And we will have all that information in the, I'll put that down in the conversation in the comments part. What's coming up for you? Are there any other books that you're working on at the moment?
A children's book. The children's book of What Would Jesus Do? But really, it's the same concepts, but it's titled Letters from God.
Letters from God. I love that.
And so it's being illustrated right now from an artist who's in Africa. He's doing an amazing job. So he is building the 45 different illustrations for each of the stories. And each of these 45 moments and experiences of Christ and the Word, the children are getting it from a first person vantage point from Christ, but as in letters from heaven.
Awesome. So it's a novel form. It's a illustrated chapter book or illustrated instructional book?
An illustrated devotional
type
of book where they're just reading letters from heaven. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Now, do you have songs to follow that? Because you like to put a song with everything.
So look, I imagine that will be next. I love music, and it helps children to learn and to remember. And so I'm very excited about the book and how it turns stories into pro-social skills development opportunities, social and emotional learning, pro-social skills development, to include like somebody being bullied, you know, when Christ was being bullied in this particular moment, you know, have you ever been bullied? Like, it brings the Word to the child in a way where they can definitely say, okay, I can relate to Christ.
Oh, that's so important. Is there anything that we've not talked about that you would want to leave with the listener, that you would want them to walk away if it's that one thing that they walk away with? What is it that you would like to share with them?
Well, if I could share anything, it would be to trust in the Lord and do good, and don't stop dreaming. All of this has happened since COVID.
Yeah.
My world opened up internationally. I have to being known in Africa as well as Pakistan since COVID. And so all we have to do is lean in and depend on Christ and just believe and have a dream. And he will back you up if you put in the work.
Yeah.
People will be sent to you so that they can help you along your way. And so I'm praying for each and every one of you that you will be able to have the faith and the works to match your dream and belief.
And Peyton said it earlier, that's the number one thing that she wishes that parents and children understood: the importance of being present, the importance of that support. And when we have that, no matter what line that we're in, no matter what it is that we're doing, what we're endeavoring to do in our personal life, in our spiritual life, in our mental life, in our relational life, that having that support means everything. So I know that I've not said that as recently as I should, but I do really, truly thank you for your friendship, and thank you for you and your family for that support that you just just give like so freely. So thank you for that.
I feel like I don't feel like it's something that I should be thanked for, because it's so easy to love you, easy to support you. And so I feel like it's not fair for me to get any appreciation for it. You have always been light and you shine so bright. I love your smile. I love your style. I love your love for children and the community. You're a whole vibe. And I love seeing what you do. You're very, you are an inspiration.
Oh, thank you. So I know that I'm going to have you guys back on, because I know that there are more books being birthed out of all three of you.
Yes.
I would love to have you come back on once the board game is live, so that we can talk about it, maybe even do a show where we have different people on and we do a session where we're actually playing the game. I think that would just be phenomenal to do that. So definitely keep us posted and let us know what you are doing. And again, I'm going to put all of your information in the comments so that everyone could reach out and support you guys and purchase the baby's books and share them with their children. You want to leave us with something?
Yes, I do. Because of the heartbeat of the book, which is, you know, over 45 scripturally sound answers for managing emotions and becoming more like Christ, I would be remiss if I didn't say, fix my life, now take a journey for a moment, grow from brokenness to boldness, to destinies fulfilled. I'm so glad, I'm so thrilled you're in my class. Do, 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 do. We all have moments in our life where we need support, even for the 21st century. Let's pull on Christ so that we can see which step forward that we should take next.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, y'all know in my dreams, I sing like that. So that's just, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can get my voice, because apparently
look, you're
lost in translation.
But look, your voice and your wings.
Yes, at the same time. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to connecting with you all again soon.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
And this wraps up another episode of On the Air with Florenza. You may follow me on all social media platforms under Florenza Lee or via my website at florenza.org. Until next time, cheers.